This is PodTech News. I'm Catherine Girardeau. We're looking at a couple of stories today. First, mobile internet. Yahoo's the world's largest internet media company, and Motorola's the second biggest maker of mobile phones. They signed a deal late Wednesday for Motorola to put Yahoo services on tens of millions of phones. The new Motorola phones will run a set of services called Yahoo Go for Mobile that includes Yahoo email, search, and address book. To get a perspective on what this announcement means, we called Jill Aldort, senior analyst with Yankee Group.
Assuming that they do have the, you know, millions of Motorola handsets, like they're saying in the press release, it certainly will help to get Yahoo's name elevated within the mobile arena. So the problem that these types of applications have faced in the mobile channel so far is, you know, a couple of things, but really they've been constrained by poor discoverability. So in other words, Yahoo has had mobile applications for quite a few years now. So has AOL, so has Microsoft, and, you know, and so has Google. But the problem is it's been very difficult to access them on the phone. So with something like this where you have an icon directly from the main menu of the phone, it makes it much easier for consumers to basically discover those applications and use them. And Yahoo's also doing some good things with the Go application in terms of syncing it with their online services. So it'll be good for, you know, current Yahoo PC users. So in other words, you know, it will syncs with your address book, with your online address book. It will, you know, if you send emails from your phone, it'll back it up to the web. Or if you, you know, take pictures on your phone, it'll back it up to Yahoo Photos online. So there's some nice integration there with the online properties. But as far as, you know, you had asked if this is going to improve Yahoo's market position in the race with Google, in the online space, there are some clear winners in terms of whether it be search or web-based email or things like that. I don't think there's going to be a clear winner in the mobile world. I don't think there's going to be one service that is all things to all people.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, it seems like, you know, the aggravation of cell phones is that you get signed up with one provider and then you're kind of married to that provider and the services they do or don't offer.
Right.
And it seems like with these internet companies and mobile hardware companies teaming up, you're then going to be tied to two companies again, and people will have to switch cell phone service if they want to use Yahoo, et cetera. So you don't think that the market will push for a more universal approach so that you could access any internet service you wanted from any cell phone
right.
you wanted?
Well, that is actually my suggestion for carriers, that they do open that up, so open up access from any, you know, from any carrier to any portal. Because if you do have what you just described of, you know, if I'm a Sprint user, I can only access Yahoo. If I'm a Verizon user, I can only access MSN, then it's really, in a way, negating some of the interoperability agreements that the carriers have put in place for SMS or MMS or other things like that. So, you know, I think that if they do allow open access, it's going to solve that usage barrier of limited distribution. And in order for the portals to get critical mass, their services have to be available across all of the carriers, and not only available across all of the carriers, but provisioned for multiple handsets across the different carriers.
I mean, do you think this kind of cooperation is likely among all these companies?
I think it's starting to happen. Will it be an overnight process, an overnight solution? No. But I do think that it is starting to happen, and, you know, there are several handsets now where you can access, you know, on my own personal phone, for example, I can access, there are direct links to AOL, to Yahoo, and to MSN from there. So I think it is starting to happen.
Do you see this as the beginning of a change to the mobile market growing larger than the PC market as far as how people are accessing internet services?
Well, I think that's a long time in coming. I do think that we're just at the cusp of a shift in consumer behavior, and it really hasn't started yet. So, you know, there's only a, there's a very minimal number of consumers who are kind of browsing the internet through their cell phone right now. We just conducted a survey in the May timeframe, and about 7% of mobile phone owners over the age of 18 are browsing regularly on their mobile phones. So there's still a lot of growth there that needs to be done. But it's services like these, like the Yahoo Go application, that could help, foster that consumer mindset of using your phone for more than a voice call.
Jill Aldort is a senior analyst with Yankee Group. Thanks for being on PodTech News.
Absolutely. Thank you, Catherine.
Another story we were tracking this week is about download-to-burn movie services. Two companies, CinemaNow and MovieLink, announced this week that they've licensed download-to-burn technology. MovieLink said it won't enter the market for another 6 months, but CinemaNow began on Wednesday offering 100 older film titles, such as Charlie's Angels Full Throttle from 2003. CinemaNow said the technology has anti-piracy features. Users can only burn one copy. I called Steve Swayze, director of corporate communications for Netflix, the rent-by-mail movie service, to find out how his company is planning to respond to the competitive challenge download-to-burn movie services present.
We're excited by this downloading phenomenon that's coming, but it's not here yet, and it won't be for a long time for two reasons. One is that the content is not available for downloading. The studios that provide the content, the titles of movies, and as I say, at Netflix, we have 60,000 titles that you can get delivered to you tomorrow. We have next-day delivery for more than 90% of the country. You can get 60,000 titles at Netflix, but the downloading products have very few titles offered. And the reason for that is that the studios hang on to the titles for licensing rights to broadcast, to HBO and to ABC and to the other networks. And the studios also generate a large amount of their revenue from DVD sales. So they're not licensing very much content for downloading. And the second thing is getting the internet to the television is an impediment to the whole downloading. People want to watch movies on their widescreen TV. Now, as I said, that doesn't mean we're not excited about downloading. We think in several years it'll be more mainstream, and we'll be there. We intend to be the place that you go for your video programming. We are investing $5 to $10 million this year. We invested proportionately last year, and we'll continue to invest in our downloading initiative, which we're going to announce at the end of this year. And we won't say anything more about that here because we don't want to preempt our own announcement. But we named the company Netflix for a reason, not DVDs by mail, because we intend to be the place where you will go on the internet for your video programming. This is new technology, and it's new consumer behavior, and I think time will tell, but it's Netflix's strategy to grow big on DVD, and as the technology evolves and as the marketplace is more accepting of new and more difficult, more cumbersome technology, Netflix intends to be there and to be the leader in the downloading and any other permutation that is going to be attractive to consumers.
Steve Swayze is Director of Corporate Communications for Netflix. Andrew Frank, a research director for Gartner, Inc., analyzes developments in media, including video. I asked him for his take on what download-to-burn might mean for companies like Netflix.
I think that Netflix has a point about the selection, which is still very narrow, at least what we've seen from CinemaNow, which was pretty interesting the way they the timing of their announcement and their deployment of the service in relation to to MovieLink, which only announced its availability in Q1 of 2007. But I think that there is enough difference, perhaps, in the value proposition that Netflix has, which is a monthly rental subscription model, versus downloading and having a different kind of experience. I think that a lot of people have invested in developing their lists on Netflix, and so there's a lot of ingrained behavior there that I think that these download services are going to have to overcome if they're going to really start to displace Netflix. Not that it couldn't happen, but I think there's a lot of momentum.
Do you think that this is going to revolutionize the industry?
I wouldn't say that this particular thing is a revolutionary step. I think it's an important evolutionary step, but I think overall, you know, until you really do get to push button video on demand, there's still enough impediments that VOD has its place on cable as opposed to the internet version. You know, this is the arrival of sneakernet in the home. So we've come a long way from the time when you had to actually go and buy a physical DVD or rent it at a rental store, but we're still a long way away from the true network in the home, which would allow you to to click on a movie icon and then have it start streaming in high quality directly to your big screen.
All right. Well, Andrew Frank, thank you so much for joining me on PodTech News.
Thanks for having me.
Andrew Frank is a research director in New York with Gartner, Inc.
This is PodTech News. Have a great weekend.